Would you stand? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 and read six verses there, and then John 10:10. Good to have all of you this morning. Appreciate you coming to the house of the Lord. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Of all the beasts out there, that sneaky snake. The most subtle of all the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question. And the woman said unto the serpent, see, once the conversation starts, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, there was two in the midst. One was the tree of life. The other one was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Neither shall you touch it. Don't touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as. A-S. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And if we read on, you'd find their eyes were opened, and they realized death was inevitable. But I read in John chapter 10, and verse 10, that the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I want to talk this morning from this thought, the conduit of Christ. The conduit of Christ. Lord, I come before you this morning needing help as I always do. And Lord, I do have to lean on you for everything. And Lord, this morning, I need your help. Help me to articulate this. Help them to hear what I have to say through you and apply it to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I brought with me a couple pipes here. And I want to try to help maybe some of the most of you adults know what conduit is, but some of the younger ones may not. So I'd like to explain what conduit is. And conduit is something that passes through, right? It's, you run an electrical conduit, you do it, what good does a conduit do if you don't run something through it? If you don't run something through it, it's just a pipe. But if you run something through it, then if you run something through it, it's going somewheres. It's leading to something. Mm-hmm. Or don't run anything through it. What good does it do? And so you put a conduit up to protect things and from the elements and so forth. But it contains things. And what a conduit does is it's conductivity. It's also called conduct. Now, I don't know, when we got report cards when we was kids, it seemed like we got a grade for conduct. They still do that? Okay. So conduct is how you carry yourself through situations. It's how you behaved yourself. And if you interrupted things, you interrupted the flow of things, then what happened was you had bad conduct. Right? You with me? Okay. And you give grades to in conduct? Because you can make straight A's and have bad conduct. You can come to church, pay your tithes, raise your hand, and say glory to God, and have bad conduct. Get an F for conduct. Because you disturb the flow of things. And anybody that disturbs the flow of things needs to get with the program. Because there's a program in place. And anytime you try to stop the program, you're disturbing the flow of things. And so your conduct is how you handle things with God and with your neighbor and with your, and it's what he said, if you'll love God and love your neighbor as yourself, everything will flow fine. But it's when you don't do those things, your conduct gets out of hand. God created man in his own image. and he breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Here's man. Here's God. Okay? And so God got connected with man, and he breathed into his nostrils. He conducted air into him, and he became what God was, living. It passed from God to man through a conduit. It was his nostrils, but it was a conduit. And he breathed into his nostrils, and he became what God was. So that in a conduit, whatever you put in here, the same comes out here. Right? I just happened to bring something. Let me see. I had to fish around to find something. Watch this. It flowed through. It went right on through. It came from God, and it went right to man. But Eve began to talk to the serpent and bad conduct. It was bad conduct. And she began to get to converse. Her conductivity started going over to Satan instead of to God. She repeated what God said, but her conduct was one thing and what she said was another thing. And she was deceived. She talked, you know, that's the problem with talking to some people. They just want you to engage, because once they engage with conversation, they got you. And so she partook of the forbidden fruit. She was deceived, the Bible says. But Adam wasn't deceived. And because of these two falling, the conductivity was severed between God and man. Man got nothing. I can do it the other way. God got nothing. Because the conductivity, bad conduct, separated the two of them. Again, you can be great, but your conduct, I can't work with you. Your conduct is too bad. And so an enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But we read where Christ come to restore life. And so the biggest error of all times was when Satan talked to her and said, the reason God doesn't want you to eat of that tree is because he knows you will be A.S., as God. That's like the second largest word in the dictionary. What's the largest? If. If. That's what Satan did. If. But what if? But what if? I'd sing that song, but what if? And we live off of, well, what if, instead of doing anything. So he's telling her, you will be as God. This word as is a big word. It really is, because what he's saying is it will bring you into unity with God. It will bring, as means it brings you into harmony. You'll be like God. You'll be closer to God. You'll be just like him, not knowing it was going to sever there are not realizing it would sever their relationship. Jesus used that word as many times. The kingdom of heaven is like unto or as a grain of mustard seed in faith. He used it as, meaning it is like that. And so the serpent deceives Eve, and Adam's not deceived, eats of the fruit, and their relationship was severed. And so now we have God is not happy with man. And so he says, if I'm going to talk to man, I'm going to talk to him through a priest, through a sacrifice, or anything like that. But
can you hear me now? Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
God wanted to talk to man, but he couldn't. His conduct was too bad. And so he had a high priest come in and try to get some kind of medium where we could at least converse. And I could at least push his sins back. But man's conduct would not allow God to talk directly to man. The serpent tricked Eve into believing she would be as gods. The serpent knew this because he tried to be as God too. See, he knew this to get her to believe you're going to ascend like the Most High. You're going to be like the Most High. That's what got him to fall. And he knew if I could get her to buy into that, she will fall just like I did. And she did. And Adam did as well. So Christ says, God says, how can I get reconnected man and God? And when you're dyslexic, you turn it around like this and still read it. But how can I get connected to man and God? And he said, lo, in the volume of the book, it was written of me to do thy will, O God. So he came to connect us. His name was Jesus. He was spirit. And he was flesh. And he connected.
Can you hear me now?
Us back together. So that that's good. Thank you. So what flows now through God went through Christ and goes through us. Well, you understand? It's very simple, but it's very true. And so whatever goes through God, goes to us. And if I have a need on my end, I go to God. And he sees me. He sees me through. See, he sees me through. For yea, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. If it stops, he's no longer with me. But as long as you're with God, he will see you through anything you're going through. He's there. He's with you. He's part of you. And he will see you completely through. Amen. I have something deeper to teach you. Because I want to show you how the conductivity of Christ works in our lives. Because, again, this word as means to become in unity with. When you look at Matthew 6 and 12, he read it this morning. No, who read it this morning? Yeah, you read it this morning. Who's going to obtain mercy? You read it this morning? The merciful. Now, wait a minute. You say that. Who's going to get mercy? That means I already have to be merciful to get mercy. Oh, we're on to something. See, I thought I just tapped into God's mercy. God, mercy, God give me. He said, no. If you want my mercy, man, you be merciful first. And we'll pass that mercy that you have, it goes to me, and I give you mercy in return for what you give to others. But only the merciful receives mercy. Judge not, lest you be judged. For as a man judges, so shall he be judged. So he says, you judge first, then I judge you based on how you judged. So all you judgmental people out there, come on, all you judgmental people out there are setting up your own court. Because God's going to bring you right in front and say, how did you judge other people? Well, I was hard on them and I was critical of them. He says, okay, me too. I'm critical of you and I'm critical of the way you criticized other people. And I'm going to judge you just like you judged other people. So what we're seeing in this lesson this morning is it started with man. And it ended up with God. And it passed through. The merciful receives mercy. The ones that are forgiving receives forgiveness. The ones that give shall be given. He's waiting on you to do it first. And then he says, I do it right behind you. And now listen close. This is my point. As you do it, I do it. As you do it. Not necessarily how you do it, but while you're doing it, I'm doing it. Because that's a conduit. As you are forgiving, I am forgiving. As you are loving, I am loving. As you are merciful, I am merciful. As you do it. So let me prove my point here this morning. Matthew 6 and 12 says, and forgive us our debts, sins, trespasses. Had one this morning. Forgive us our debts as we... forgive us our debts as... See, that word means unity. It means brings us together. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, man, as you forgive, I forgive. When you start forgiving, I start forgiving. So that you cannot get forgiveness from me until you first forgive yourself. I mean others. Maybe yourself too, but forgive others. And some people, I've watched them seek the Holy Ghost and seek it and never get it. I'm going to tell you perhaps why. They never forgave others. They're still holding in their heart something. The Lord says, I can't fully forgive you because you have not fully forgiven others. So how you judge others tells me how you will be judged. And Peter was disturbed. He said, well, Lord, if somebody does me wrong, how many times I got to forgive them? How about seven, which is that completion number, right? How about seven? And the Lord said, how about 70 times seven? How about, do you think you just need forgiveness seven times and I'm going to stop? How many of you would still be in trouble if he only forgave you seven times? I'd still be in trouble. But he said, I'm going to forgive you like you should forgive other people. So that every time they repent, you forgive, then I forgive you. So that if you don't forgive other people, I won't forgive you. So if you stop at seven, I stop at seven. Are you understanding this scripture like never before? Matthew 6 and 14. For if ye forgive men, that's that other big word. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father might, he's going to think about it. No, he will also forgive you. But it's only contingent upon what you do with others. Because I will not forgive you until you forgive others. Luke wrote it this way in Luke 4, 11 and 4. It said, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one. Don't you want him to forgive you of every one of your sins? Everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in my closing statements this evening, this morning, I want to tell you the best example I can show you of how this conductivity works is we turn to the book of Job. We turn to the book of Job. Because you see, Christ was a mediator between God and man. He took what Adam and Eve destroyed, was that connection to God. And he said, I come to bring you life, and that more abundantly. So whatever God has should glow to you. If God's got love, you got all the love you want. He said, God is love. Amen. Whatever, if God's got peace, you ought to be at peace. If you have conductivity, what did Christ say? My peace I give unto you. It flows from the throne. We sang it this morning. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from above. And it flows to man. The book of Job goes 42 chapters, and we read of the downfall of Job. We read of all the perils that Job went through, and we've quickly quoted, and this is going to go deeper than we normally would quickly quote, and when Job's captivity was turned when he prayed for his friends, right? Okay, and it is, but I want you to understand it this morning. In Job 42 and 5, it says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Okay, the Lord, we're getting close to the end. The Lord has said, where were you, Job, when I framed the world? Where, how can you tell me how the rain falls and it runs down the river and the seas are not yet full? And Job had no answer for any of God's questions. So he began to realize how small he was. And he said, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. What is he seeing? The hand of the Lord. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Did you know you can repent and not be forgiven? If you don't understand it, you didn't get this sermon. You can repent and not be forgiven. You're only forgiven when you forgive others. That's when you're forgiven. So Job has repented, but he's not forgiven. He just repented. You can be, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I'll never do that again. But I'll never forgive them. You're not forgiven then. Are y'all with me over here on the side? Okay. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee, one of Job's friends. He had three friends. And against thy two friends, for ye have spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Y'all, all four of y'all have not spoken about me. You've been about your problems, you've been about, and you've wrongly judged one another. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks. So he's talking to Job's friend. Therefore, now Job's already repented, but he's not forgiven. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. Job had already done that. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him I will accept. Okay, so when we say he prayed for him, what they're saying really is he's going to forgive you. He was bringing these offerings as a forgiveness offering. These offerings were a peace offering unto God. Job had already done that. He was in right relationship with God, but not right relationship with those that had troubled him. So he said, you go and Job will be there and Job will forgive you when you begin to offer up offerings to me. For him I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me in the thing that is right, like my servant Job. He has repented. So Eliphaz and the Temanite and Bildad the Shunite and Zophar the Naamanite went and did according to the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job. I hope this hits home to you. The Lord forgave Job, because Job began to pray or forgive his friends. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned again the captivity of Job when he forgave or prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. As they come this morning, Job had lost relationship with God. And by forgiving his friends, he got reconnected to God. And God said, now that you've forgiven your friends, I can forgive you. But you can repent and not be forgiven, because you have an unforgiving heart. Who receives mercy? Merciful. Who inherits the earth? The meek. You do it first, and then you receive those things from God. And after he forgave his friends, the captivity of Job was turned. And then the Lord began to pour out blessings from heaven onto Job, so that now he had twice it began to flow again. Are you understanding? It began to flow again. But sin separates you from God. Christ came that we may be reconnected to God. Adam and Eve destroyed their relationship. It was like one thing, but it was severed. And now we need Christ to bring us back in harmony with God. Would you stand this morning? Anybody that needs anything in your life, can I tell you how to be it, how to get it? It's to be it. If you need mercy, be merciful. If you need help, be helpful. If you need peace, follow the things that make for peace, the Bible says. Be what you want to receive from God. I need somebody to give me. Well, you start giving. And when you give, he said, I give. So this morning, I wish as they sing, we'd all make our way down here, that we'll come down here. And I think this ought to be revolutionary in your life, to rethink about how you treat others, where you stand with others, and your relationship with other people. If you need help this morning, help others. You need forgiveness, forgive others. Hallelujah. Christ came to restore that relationship between God and man. Hallelujah. If you want to be criticized, criticize others. You want to be hateful, you'll be hated. For whatever you meet out will be met back to you. Hallelujah. For you. Why don't you raise your hands right where you're at? Say, Lord, help me to be. Believe it or not, the word conduit does appear in the Bible in two or three places. It talked about the pools and the conduit that lived between the pools. And, you know, if you've got a pond, it's just a pond. You're not connected to any other water source. You're just a pond. You can be 5 feet away from the sea and have no connection to the sea. But if you'll cut a channel to the sea, you get everything the sea's got. It goes up, it goes down. You got access. You get in your boat, you can go to China. But if you're in a pond, you just keep going around, circle, 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 and you never go anywhere. What we need is to be connected and to stay connected to God. Amen. Because everything you need is in Him. I am complete in Him. Everything flows through Christ to me. From God, through Christ, to me. He is the hope of glory. I had no hope of glory. I had no hope of heaven, the glory of God, until I got Jesus Christ. Now I have the hope of glory. Now I have the peace of God. Now I have the Father, the everlasting Father. I have the Counselor. I have everything God has is now for me through Jesus Christ. Why don't we clap our hands and thank the Lord? Hallelujah. I come that you might have life. In Him was life, John said. And His life, in Him was light, and His light was the life of men. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, Brother Jake, you're not going to forget this, are you? You remember this? Check back. Amen. God bless you this morning. I hope you got something out of this. Forgive others, and as you are forgiving, at the same time, as you start forgiving others, He starts forgiving you. Because just repentance don't get it done. It's when you fully repent, you change your ways. And so now those that hurt you, you forgive them because you're no longer holding. And see, when you change your ways and start forgiving them, you become like Christ. And then now He forgives you because you did what He would do. On the cross, He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. This should change your life. It should change you. If you want to be criticized, just be critical of everybody else, and you'll get it right back. You don't be judgmental, go ahead and do it, but you're going to get it right back. For whatever you meet out is what you're going to get back. And whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. It's a conduit. Amen. God bless you this morning. Be careful going home. Keep praying for the building. The weather's been a little bit better and they're working. Hope to see some concrete, they said, in about 2 weeks.